Well, thank you so much. Wonderful singing today. 2 Peter chapter 3, 5 says that those who deny that God created the heavens and the earth are willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. In other words, they've talked themselves into believing a lie. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And yet there are millions of people who do not believe that, and all the evidence is to the contrary. Oh, you can look at the heavens and the earth and tell that someone greater than a little one-celled animal in a murky swamp evolved into what we see today in terms of human beings, and something other than a big bang created all the heavens and all the stars and all of the galaxies. Under God comes this created order. First there's God, and then according to Colossians 1:16, He created the angels. Angels are not timeless entities. They had a beginning. The Bible says again in the book of Hebrews, God made man a little lower than the angels. So there is the angelic host of heaven, then man, and then the animal kingdom, which is subjected to humans. God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that you shall have dominion over all of the animal kingdom. But today we look at the doctrine of man. Anthropology, it's called in the Greek language. Last Sunday morning we established that evolution is a lie. Jesus said in Matthew 19, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, the beginning was when God created Adam and Eve. In the beginning, God made man. He made them male and female, and we did not evolve. Now, something I didn't touch on last week that I'd like to allude to for a moment today, and that is the issue of theistic evolution. Theos is the Greek word for God. For example, the word Theologos, theology. Theology is simply the two Greek words, God's word or the word of God. And so theistic evolution says there is a God. Regular evolution says there is no God, that evolution is based on the foundation of atheism. There are those who like that middle ground. We believe there is a God, but He used the evolutionary process to bring man into existence. They're compatible, they say. You can believe that man came from monkeys and believe that there is a God who allowed it to happen that way. They are not compatible. Listen to me. Evolution makes God a liar. Theistic evolution makes God a liar. And here's why. Listen to this. If theistic evolution happened, if you came about as a result of billions of years of God overseeing the evolutionary process, then here's what that means. That means that there was no Adam and Eve. Now put your thinking cap on this morning. Theistic evolution says there's a God, but He used evolution. That takes Adam and Eve out of the picture. And Jesus in Matthew 19 just reminded us there were two. There were two human beings at the beginning of human history when God made it all. And so if there are no Adam and Eve, listen to the repercussions of that. If there's no Adam and Eve, that means the doctrine of original sin is a lie. What is original sin? The sin our parents committed. Daddy Adam and Mama Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they passed all of that down through the genealogical seed line of human history. If theistic evolution is true, there's no Adam and Eve. If there's no Adam and Eve, that means the doctrine of original sin is not true. And if there is no original sin, that means we have no need of a Savior. If there was no Adam, how did sin get into the world? Romans 5:12 says, this is the Bible talking, by one man sin entered into the world and death through sin. But if there is no Adam and Eve, then you tell me, how did sin enter the world? That's an impossibility. Evolution could not have caused a sinful humanity. Evolution, if it is true, means that there is no God that we have to account for. And boy, how people love that thought. That's why so many people love the theory of evolution, because it means there's no God. And if there is no God, we don't have to account to anyone. And if there's no God and no man that came down through the billions of years of evolution, in short, that means that people are going to live any way they want and there's no one to answer to. The Bible teaches us that man came from dust. Eve came from Adam's sod. And man, the first man, came from the dirt. God took a rib from his sod and formed the woman. Psalm 103 says, we know our frame. Our frame is dust. That's what God made you of. The original father, the original Adam, formed from the dirt of the ground. And God took Eve from his sod. I heard one pastor say, and I love this, God did not take the bone in which he formed Eve from the front of Adam, because he never wanted man to be in front of the woman, and he didn't take the bone from the back of Adam because he didn't want woman to be behind man, but he took the bone from his side because it is the will of God that women, wives, walk side by side with their husband through life. I like that thought. Well, listen to this. The book of Genesis is full of firsts. First man, first woman. First anesthesia ever performed and the first surgery ever performed was done in the book of Genesis. Look in chapter 7. I hope you didn't leave there. If you did, turn back to chapter 7 of the book of Genesis and look at what God did in the Garden of Eden with the very first man and the very first woman. Chapter 7, and the scripture says, excuse me, I'm ahead of myself. Chapter 2, forgive me. I'll get to chapter 7 in a moment. Look in chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2 and verse 7. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. From dust we have come, it is often said at funerals, and to dust we will return. But notice what God did with Adam. He breathed into Adam's nostrils an eternal breath. This is called the human soul. Adam would eventually die at 939 years of age. But his spirit would live forever. You're going to die one day, but you've got an eternal part of you that will live for all of eternity. He put into Adam an eternal spirit. And God did this because he wanted man to be an eternal being, and all of us are. We have a limited amount of time physically on this earth, but 5 billion years from right now, your soul is going to be living in eternity, either in heaven or hell, depending on what you did with Jesus Christ. Now, the creation of man, that's my first point here, happened on a Friday. It was day 6. According to God's calendar. He made Adam with dirt, and I believe that Adam didn't have to grow up. He was created fully mature. Unlike all of us who came out of the womb as infants, and then we were toddlers, and then we were children and teenagers, Adam did not have to grow. Adam did not have to mature. He grew up fully human. And so in this 21st verse, chapter 2, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. God is going to perform the first surgery. He puts Adam to sleep. I have a nephew who's an anesthesiologist down in Greenville, South Carolina. One Thanksgiving, we were eating lunch together. And it occurred to me, I said, Josh, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but you and I basically do the same thing for a living. He said, what do you mean? I said, I put people to sleep and so do you. And the little smart aleck said, yeah, Uncle Bill, but at least my people eventually wake up. That's what he said. I took him out of my will immediately. That's $10 he will not be getting, I'm telling you. God performed the first wedding ceremony. He brought the woman to the man. Wedding bells rang in Eden that day as God wed these two first human beings. and they were sinless. They were perfect. It's hard to imagine living in a sinless world, but they did. They really had the perfect marriage, and the reason why is because sin had not invaded the world yet, and in every sense of the word, they were human. I'll tell you another reason why they had a perfect marriage. She didn't have to listen to Adam talk about how good of a cook his mama was. And he didn't have to listen to her talk about all the men she could have married. Second thing I want you to notice, the creation of man, the corruption of man. Chapter 3 of Genesis in verse 6. Satan came in, the subtle serpent, the thief, and he tempted Adam and Eve. We do not have time to look at the intricacies of this verse in this passage, but in 3:6, you've heard it since you were a child in Sunday school. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. God planted a tree eastward in Eden. He said, you can touch it all you want, but you don't eat of the fruit. She saw that it was a tree desirable to make one wise, and she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. One bite, quite literally, quite simplistically, one bite corrupted the entire human race from Adam forward. God had warned them and they disobeyed God. That's what sin is, by the way. It's disobedience to God. I talk to children all the time before I baptize them and I ask them, what is sin to you? And most of the time they get it right, disobeying God. God told us to do these things, we don't. God told us not to do some things and we do. That is disobedience. They nail it. That's exactly right. And so man was corrupt at that point. A lot of people assume that this fruit was an apple. The Bible doesn't say that. We don't know what kind of fruit it was. But in any event, the thing that tripped them up was when Satan said to them, if you eat, you'll be just like God. Pride entered their heart. And because it did, they fell. We are under a curse right now. The animal kingdom is under a curse. The planet Earth is under a curse. Human beings are under the curse of God because of that. And here's what we call it, theologically speaking, original sin. The original sin created, or committed, I should say, in the Garden of Eden. And so immediately upon eating that fruit, and by the way, I heard one preacher say it, and it's true, they made the fatal mistake of putting a question mark where God put a period. God said, you shall not eat, period. Satan came along and said, has God really said, Satan, ask? And then there's a question mark. Doubting the word of God, that's what Satan will make you do. Satan's job is to get you to have less respect for Scripture to the point where you deny it and doubt it. And I'm telling you, every one of us at one time or another in our life have heard the hiss of Satan whisper in our ear, did God really tell you not to get drunk? Did God really tell you not to have premarital sex? Did God really tell you you shouldn't use drugs? Satan has an ingenious way of putting a question mark where God has put a period and placed doubt in their mind. But here's what happened. The moment they ate of that fruit, they died spiritually. They would die 900 plus years later physically, but they died spiritually that very moment. And again, sin always results in physical death and spiritual death. I will quote the verse again from Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered the world. And here's what happened. Ephesians 2:1 says, sin, when we commit it, we have a sin nature that's going to cause us to commit sin. But Ephesians 2:1 says, we are dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins until we come to Jesus Christ. Their sin has been passed down genetically, biologically, through the seed line. You are a sinner because your parents were sinners and their parents were sinners. Go all the way back up the line, and that's exactly how it was passed down to every person who ever lived, with the exception of Jesus Christ Himself. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Now that's the conundrum we face. The creation of man. God did this. You look in the mirror and you will see someone God created in His own image. Secondly, we've seen the corruption that sin brought. Now, thirdly, Genesis 3, go over there. We'll see the cleansing of that first man and that first woman. Genesis 3, verse 21. God, here's another first, performed the very first animal sacrifice in human history. It says in Genesis 3, 21, "For Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of sin, and He clothed them." On that day in Eden, God killed an animal, very first animal sacrifice in history. And there were millions and millions of them later, but this was the first one. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't hear anything I tell you this morning, please don't let this escape your ears. The pattern of shed blood for the forgiveness of sins is established right here. When God killed that animal, blood had to be shed. And He took the skin of that animal and He covered Adam and Eve with coats of skin. You could say they were covered in blood. And that mandate has followed mankind from the Garden of Eden all the way down until today. Did you know that the first animal sacrifice happened here? A mere chapter later, there's Abel bringing a lamb for an animal sacrifice. All of you know that they had to run to the fig leaves and they had to cover their nakedness, Adam and Eve did, with fig leaves made with their own hands. And God came in the Garden of Eden and He said, "This will not do. If you try to save yourself by the works of your own hands, if you try to cover your sins with what you do, whether it's the waters of baptism or church membership or being a good person, you are covering yourself with fig leaves. God will never, never accept the works of your own hands." What Cain tried to get away with, Cain and Abel. And Cain brought some of the fruit that he had raised, something he had done with his own hands. And Abel brought the blood of an animal. And God never accepts the works of our own hands and always rejects our own goodness in favor of grace. Grace makes its first appearance in the Bible right here when Adam and Eve clothed themselves with fig leaves. By the way, what kind of fig leaves did you clothe yourself with before you realized that Jesus died and made the ultimate sacrifice for you? Well, the answers are varied. People say, "I was a church member, thought I was going to heaven. I was a moral person. I didn't do certain things. I thought that would..." That's fig leaves. That's you trying to please God with the works of your own hands. Scripture says that Abel came through blood. In the book of Exodus, a family had to be covered by blood. It was the Jews on the Passover when the blood of the lamb had to be shed and put at the door of every dwelling so that the death angel would pass over. And then you go over to Leviticus 16 and the bloodline continues when God required that the Jewish nation observe something called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where in Leviticus 16, blood had to be shed for the entire nation. The entire nation was forgiven. So you've got blood for one man, Adam and Eve and Abel. You've got blood for one family, the Jews in the book of Exodus when the death angel came over. And then the blood for the nation on the Day of Atonement. God will forgive the sins once a year on that Yom Kippur holiday. And then I see John the Baptist standing at the banks of the Jordan River. And he yelled out, "Here he comes." Pointing, "Here he comes, the Lamb of God, whose blood will take away the sin of the world." You are corrupt. I don't care what Joel Osteen tells you. I don't care what some of these health and wealth theology preachers teach you. You are corrupt to the core. There is nothing good about you. Nothing in your unsaved state. God looks at you, just as Paul said, and He passes judgment on us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus came, died on the cross, shed His righteous royal blood so He could take something bad and turn you into something wonderful. All because of Calvary. Scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have gone from being created by the hand of a holy God to being corrupt from your sin, to being cleansed by that fountain filled with blood that will wash you white as snow. Let's bow our heads together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll have the invitation in just a moment. Whatever is burdening you today, this altar is open. If you need to come and pray, I'll be glad to pray with you here at the front. If you come today to join our church, we would welcome you. Welcome you with open arms. And then finally, if there are any of you who don't know for sure that heaven is your home, this invitation's for you. Father, bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand.